Welcome back to the Champions of Wayne podcast. Champions of Wayne is a 501c3 dedicated to pairing students with mentors in order to reach their goals. Enjoy listening today as Dr. Sean Galvin sits down with Shannon Pippa, a Champions mentor and teacher at Wayne Memorial High School. Champions believe strongly that some of the best mentoring takes place informally, even when we don't think we are sharing lessons with others. Today, Shannon does just that. A mentor to 11 students, she shares her path to teaching and love of learning, as well as discusses her battle with cancer, not just once, but twice.
Okay, and we are recording. Welcome okay. to Breakfast with Champions, although this should be titled Lunch with Champions, or maybe a mid-afternoon coffee
Yes. That
we don't have. Sean Galvin here with special guest Shannon Pibble. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's weird that there's not a camera. I feel like I should have a camera to look into.
Yes. And you should have some headphones and that kind of a thing like that on the radio shows and all. Yeah, this is JV. This is a JV podcast.
We don't. That's okay.
We just have this MacBook. But interviewing Mrs. Pippa today, for those that don't know her, advanced placement, political science and history, U.S. history.
I used to teach.
Well, what are the classes? What are the classes you teach here?
I teach AP U.S. history and regular U.S. history, and now humanities.
Oh, humanities.
Yeah.
That's new this year? Or new next year?
It's this year.
Yikes.
It was offered a long time ago, uh-huh. And then when AP U.S. history, when I got that added to the curriculum, I can't have four preps. So mm-hmm. Humanities got moved to another teacher, and then the course just sort of faded.
Uh-huh.
So then last year I told kids to sign up, and we got enough signed up, and it ran this year. So
nice.
Yeah, it's back. I'm glad.
And how's it been going?
It's super fun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have a good time. We do a lot of projects. We decorate the showcases.
So if you are a student at Wayne Memorial and you have a class, one of Mrs. Pippa's classes, odds are you are a high-achieving student. You are intelligent, you're probably college-bound. True?
I would agree with that, yeah.
Hey, smart kids, come on and take my class. And, I mean, that's kind of what's going on.
I mean, I like to see everybody. I love all of my students.
Yes.
I hope I make a welcome environment for smart kids.
Uh-huh.
So, humanities, I think, is for people who are college bound. Like,
yes. That's
the goal.
Yeah. And then you also, word on the street is you provide a challenging environment. In fact, I think there was a Zebra Print article that maybe even called you out once about being too tough.
I can't remember.
Didn't the kid write an editorial? I could be making this up too, but I feel like there was something where and maybe they didn't call you up by name. I don't know.
I think a couple of years ago, there was something about AP classes in general,
uh-huh.
But the person that wrote it was in my AP US history class,
okay.
So I knew. I was like, come on.
Talk about me.
Yeah, you're talking about my class.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I may have written a response, but I don't know if it got published.
Oh, I like that, though. I like that. That's good.
I have very high expectations.
Uh-huh.
I expect a lot, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to apologize for that.
I like that. I like that. So, okay. So you were chosen for this podcast largely because Kevin English and myself both just find you to be a very interesting person, and we think your story needs to be told. So,
okay. Deal
with that.
I'm trying to.
Deal with that, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So... Give us the where you were raised, how many brothers and sisters. Give us kind of a profile of your, I guess, childhood, your
okay.
upbringing.
I grew up in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
I think we moved there when I was 5. And
where were you born?
I was born in Southfield, but like just in the hospital in Southfield.
Right.
And then until I was 5, we lived in, I think, in Westland, honestly.
You don't know?
I was only 5 when we moved. Like, Canton is where
I got my life story
up.
Down. I know
yeah.
where I was born, what house we lived in. I don't know, maybe that should be.
I, Like, I can picture the house, but yeah, I don't, it was, yeah, I, from five on, like, that is, I lived in Canton. Like,
you,
that's
yeah,
where I
right,
was raised.
Right, and that's where your memories, I guess, kind of begin.
Yeah.
Four or five, probably. I don't think you really remember stuff.
I vaguely remember,
two,
like, moving into that house where, that I grew up in, so, yeah, like, that's where my memories
for are. As much American history as you probably know, it's interesting to me that there are details, big chunks of your life, I don't know what happened then.
I think it was Westland.
Westlandish.
I'm
going to
ask my parents.
I might have grown up in Wayne. You might have grown up right around here.
No, I didn't. No,
it's
I grew up in Canton, Michigan.
Yeah.
I went to parochial school till I was in second grade because my mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decided to stay at home. So I have two younger brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan is... I always have to like think back from my age. Ryan is 3 years younger than me, and my brother Dan is 7 years younger than me.
Gotcha.
So
the oldest.
Yes.
The most responsible.
Yes.
That's how the birth order stuff works. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely like textbook oldest child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Always a motivated student.
Oh yeah.
Mother's a teacher.
She was a teacher till I was seven.
Okay.
And then when my youngest brother was born, she was a stay-at-home mom for a while. And then I switched to public school, so I went to school in Plymouth Canton Schools.
Mm-hmm. As did I.
Yeah, it was a good place.
Big reunion coming up here.
Yeah, next year.
What was it, 20
year? It's my 20-year reunion.
Look out. Time flies. Man,
I know.
Man, yeah. So my brother was in the same grade as you.
Yeah, but we didn't know each other.
Were you in TAG?
No.
I feel like you would have been TAG.
I was not in TAG.
Why not?
I tested for TAG, but just missed it.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I didn't get in.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's stunning news to me. That's kind of like that, like Michael Jordan didn't make his basketball team as a freshman. That's like a legend.
Well, thank you.
And people use that as motivation. Hey, you know, that's every basketball coach that cuts players, which is every high school basketball coach, that's the speech that they give right before they cut.
You can be Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan didn't make the team, you know what I mean? So, hey, Shannon Pippa.
She didn't
She
make
wasn't
TAG.
Even in TAG.
Well, yeah, I wasn't, yeah.
Did you know that I was in TAG?
I did not know you were in TAG.
Passed the test.
Good work. Well, you have a PhD and I don't.
Well, so. Yeah, but, I yeah. Well, let's drop that.
Yes.
Let's get back to you. So, Canton... Two younger brothers, mother, teacher until you were seven, then you stayed at home. What about Bob?
My dad worked in the automotive industry, like
mine too.
In offices. Like, he didn't work for the big three. He worked for, like, suppliers of the big three in quality control stuff.
Gotcha.
So.
Education, a big part of the Pippa household growing up?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it was ever a question when I was growing up that I would go to college. Like, that was not...
That was just what's happening.
That was the expectation. And my mom went to U of M. She went to U of M Ann Arbor and then transferred to Dearborn after, I think, either after she got married or after I was born. So I think, like, the expectation was always, too, that I would go to U of M. Like, that was ingrained.
Okay.
I would be attending the University of Michigan when you go to the U of M.
And so might that have been a source of stress for you in your high school years of, like, I need to get into U of M or I have let the family down?
I don't know if it was stress. I think it was a motivator. Like, that was where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
So I didn't apply to
very
many.
This is my destiny. I must rise to the occasion.
Yeah. I think I expected to go there. When it came time to apply, I was nervous. Like, what if I don't get in?
Yeah.
But...
What was Plan B?
I only applied to a couple of other schools. I applied to Eastern, and I got in there.
Uh-huh.
And Miami of Ohio, and I got in there.
Nice.
But
nice.
It didn't really... Like, at that point, I got into U of M right before Thanksgiving. Like, I knew very early, and it was done.
Done. Yeah, happening.
Yeah.
Have you always wanted to be a teacher? Have you always been a teacher? One.
Yeah.
Was that what you went right into? Or give me that. When did you decide to be a teacher?
When I was growing up, I think that I wanted to be a teacher early on. But my dad told me, you can be anything you want to be except a teacher. Because,
Wow.
because of the work that my mom put in and the little reward that she got. Not because of a lack of respect for teachers. I think it was that he didn't think that teachers were respected enough. So
the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
Yeah, yeah. So I loved school. I always loved school. I always respected my teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But I did what my parents said. So, like, teaching was not something that I planned to do. When I applied to college, I put chemistry as my intended major.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in my senior year, I took an international relations class. Like, we did Model United Nations. So
sure.
I was like, I don't want to do chemistry. I love government.
Uh-huh.
So then at U of M, I was going to major in political science and German. I loved German.
Ah.
And do, like, international relations stuff. And then I met...
And is your heritage German?
I'm a mix, like, German, Russian, British, Hungarian.
Okay.
Yeah. Polish.
What's your maiden name?
Farkas. It's Hungarian.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not Irish, though, even though my first name is Irish. And my brother's first names are Irish. We are not Irish.
Wannabes?
I guess.
Hey,
I don't know
welcome,
what my
welcome,
parents were thinking.
Come on in. I'm an Irishman. I'll take you.
Okay.
You're in. You're
I
Irish,
like
too.
I would like to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I was just there
honorary.
A couple summers ago, and I was hanging out on the River Shannon.
Oh.
Right there. In fact, if I was a girl, I was going to be Shannon.
Were you?
Yes. Yeah. See, I know things about that from my childhood. I know from when I was in the womb what was talked about.
I was going to be either a Courtney or a Shannon, and they decided, like, when I was born, that I was Shannon.
I can't imagine it was anything but a Shannon.
And neither
by the way.
Can
I guess that's how that. What's in a name?
I think so. Yeah.
I can't just start going by Doug.
No. No, please. I'm gonna start calling you that in the hallway.
Please. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so
I was talking
majoring
about,
in government, and then something must happen where you decide, okay, you know what, take a step.
I loved German, but realized that I wasn't going to really be fluent unless I went and lived in Germany. And the idea of being an exchange student was really awesome, but that was a big financial burden. But really, to be honest, like, I met the man who's now my husband my freshman year of college, and I was like, I don't want to leave him, so I'm not going to be an exchange student. So then I stopped taking German, and was just going to be a political science major. And I was in the honors program, so
makes sense.
Your junior
no
year.
No surprise
thank
there.
Thank you. Well, then I quit the honors program, actually.
Oh, there's a surprise.
Well, you apply your junior year for, like, this, at least when I was there, like, there's the freshman and sophomore honors program and then junior and senior. And when you're a junior and senior, it's all based around your major and you have to write a thesis.
Mm-hmm.
So my junior year, I was in you're in a seminar class with all of the political science honors students, and you talk about, like, what's your thesis going to be about, and you make a plan. And in that thesis class, I was the only one that wasn't going to law school. Everyone else in there majoring in poli-sci wanted to be a lawyer. And every time I came up with a potential thesis topic, it really wasn't about political science, it was about American history. So
mm-hmm.
I looked at, could I double major? And I had enough time. I could still graduate in 4 years, and I could double major. So I double majored in poli-sci and history. But as a senior, I was like, what am I going to do with this?
Right.
So I thought I could go into education policy. Like, I could work, do stuff for young people. Because I still did Model United Nations in college. This is a really long story about why.
It's all right. I'm into it.
Okay. So I thought, I love school. I love government stuff.
Right.
I'll go into education policy.
Right.
But I did not think that I could really do education policy without being a teacher. It felt like I had to be a teacher to legit.
That
kind of
makes sense to me. Like, how are you going to make policies when you, like, and
if you've
maybe,
never been
maybe
in
there's
classroom.
Maybe there's a big problem that we've just identified right there.
I know. I think
because
maybe
how are you
going to
tell people what's up when you don't know, you know?
If you've never been a teacher, I don't think that you
basketball coaches are usually former players, so they understand what's going on here, right?
That makes sense to me. Yeah. It made sense to me then.
Look, I never played a lick of basketball growing up, but I need the five of you guys to do the following things for me. Yeah. Like, what?
And I think that might be part of the problem, honestly. Like, people telling us what to do that who haven't even been in our shoes for a day.
So you decide, okay, then if I'm gonna walk the walk, I better learn how to talk the talk.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was too late for me to get a teaching certification with my bachelor's degree. I wanted to graduate on time. So U of M has the MAC program, Master mm-hmm. of.
I'm also another similarity.
Yeah. So I did MAC the year after I graduated with my bachelor's. And I student taught here. My plan was to teach for a few years and then like try to go into policy work, and I'm not in policy work.
You're holding it down right here.
Yeah, so okay. I've been teaching for, this is my 15th year. I've done other jobs, like I did office jobs in college and was like, this is boring. I need something that there's meaning.
Yeah. There it is right there. Let's have something that there's meaning, that there's fulfillment.
Yeah. So that's different. Every day here is different. And that's exciting.
Now, you had some major health challenges strike you at a very young age, correct?
Yeah.
How old were you? Can you walk us through that? You know, just how you found out and then what that...
Yeah. When I was, my son was born when I was 29.
Okay.
And about a year later, a little more than a year and a half later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't like regularly do self-exams like you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But just like one day I felt something that didn't feel right.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a lump or
I
like
felt a lump.
Hey, wait a second.
Yeah. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. So I called the doctor. They asked me some questions.
Uh-huh.
And like I gave them the right answers, the like not concerning answers.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, you know, call us back in a month. Keep track
monitor
of it.
Yeah. If it changes,
and
if
then
it grows
we'll see.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And so I wasn't worried about it, but a month passed, and it hadn't changed.
Yeah.
So they brought me in and checked it out, and they were like, you know, it's probably nothing, but we'll send you for a mammogram.
Uh-huh.
And I went for the mammogram. I went alone because the doctor had been very comforting in saying, I really think this is nothing, but we need to send you just in case.
Mm-hmm.
So I went by myself, and my best friend was at my house watching my son.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the mammogram and then took me for some extra images. Like the whole time I did not think, I just thought like they're gonna run these tests and then it's nothing.
Right, sure.
And then they brought me into a room and said that there were some abnormalities and that they're gonna have to schedule me for a biopsy. So yeah, I drove home.
Now this is
they were like, we
scary.
Think that you have cancer and we need to do a biopsy. Like, yeah. So
okay.
I was alone, so we learned the lesson, like I don't go to tests by myself anymore.
No more of that.
Never.
No
I,
more of that.
There's
yeah.
some appointments I know will be okay. But others, most
oh,
appointments,
man,
I don't go to.
What a day!
Myself.
And then you had to drive home.
Yeah, I drove home, and my friend was there, and she stayed with me till my husband got home. So
okay.
yeah,
okay.
But that wasn't like the official diagnosis. I had to have a biopsy, and then you have to wait for that. Like, there's a lot of waiting. Like you do the biopsy, you have to wait several days, then they call you.
Oh, that waiting is kind of like the worst part.
The waiting is terrible. Yeah.
Oh man.
So.
Jeez.
Then I had surgery. So they
quickly after
they cut
like,
it out. They moved fast. Like
okay.
they said that they would move as fast as I wanted them to move, and I wanted them to move very
fast.
Fast.
What's the fastest?
Yeah, fast forward, please.
like what do you mean? It's as fast
speed.
As I want to. Well, let's take our time. Yeah, I don't know. I was gonna play golf. I gotta vacation plan?
I don't know. What? Some people... Well, the second time that I was diagnosed with cancer, we did have a vacation plan.
And did you go on the vacation?
We went on the vacation, yeah. But that's a different scenario.
Like, that blows my mind. Hey, today, right now, yesterday.
Well, the breast cancer, like, it needed to be fast. Like, it was. I think I was diagnosed on July 25th,
mm-hmm.
2008. And it was out on August 4th. So
okay.
It was fast.
That's quick.
And then I recovered from my surgery. And right around the time school started, I didn't come back. I started chemo.
Okay.
So I was off of work.
So what was the outlook then? You know, like, hey, you've got this cancer, and we're going to do this surgery. Did they do it? Like I'm like a numbers guy. Like, I want to know percentages. Like, what's the percent chance I can beat this thing? You know what I mean? How freaked out should I?
It's so funny that you said that.
Ask that question?
They can do even more amazing things now. But like, they could do a big statistical analysis, like with all of the factors about me and my particular cancer, because every cancer is different. Like the treatment is tailored for each individual person.
Mm-hmm.
So they could plug that all in and tell me what, like, my percent chance of, like, recurrence and all of that was. And I told them I didn't want to know. That I couldn't live my life based around that number.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. If it was high, I couldn't live afraid of it every day.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know what my chance of recurrence is. They told me, I don't know. It was a stage 2. I have a better idea of it now because I've had some genetic testing done. But,
okay.
And they told me a little bit more. But I lost my train of thought. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know the number.
Okay. Yeah. And that's my fault that I totally interrupted
your
story talking about percentages. But okay. So the surgery and then the chemo. So then how long was the treatment? What was the treatment like?
Chemo. I had two different rounds of chemo.
Uh-huh.
The first round was every other week, and I was there the whole day. I had a port put in, so like they just, there was like a little disc that they could plug into, so I didn't need to get an IV every time.
And you're not working, you're home.
Yeah, I was home.
You're doing this. And
they told me I needed to be off.
Yeah.
Because chemo wipes out your system, and so they didn't want me around germs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Plus like the energy, my energy, by the end of the chemo, like you get progressively more tired. The more rounds of chemo you have. So, my hair fell out. I shaved my head before my hair was going to fall out because I didn't want to deal with, like, long strands of hair on my pillow.
Yeah.
So it fell out about a month in. And then after, so I can't remember for how many months I had every other week. A couple of months. And then every week, once a week, I went for a few months after that. I was done with chemo in January. So I started chemo in September of 2008, and I was done in January of 2009.
Okay.
And I was going every other week and then once a week for, like, the whole day.
And then, so how does that end? Is there your, we got it, or we're good now, or, like, do they
my surgery
call you
was,
and say...
call and say, oh, you're done?
Hey, by the way, Shannon, we're all set. cancer is done now, and resume your normal life. Talk to you later.
So what's interesting is, like, you're labeled a survivor, like, as soon as you're diagnosed. And then I had my lumpectomy, and it was out. So, like, technically, like, the cancer was gone then.
Mm-hmm.
The chemo was just in case any random cancer cells
that stuck around.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. Let's go ahead and cover the bases. I can
yeah.
I can put up with this. This
mm-hmm.
isn't ideal, but
I
considering
have to do
it. You're 29?
I was 30.
30.
Yeah. So that it was a prescribed set of, like, rounds of chemo, like, and it was all sort of, like, not preventative, but in case,
mm-hmm.
because I was so young. So it wasn't like, when it was done, like, my last day of chemo was really emotional. We knew it was my last day.
Mm-hmm.
I had bonded with the nurses there, and
mm-hmm.
it was really hard
mm-hmm.
to, because they become a support system for you, and then you're not ever going to see them again. So
that's an experience that I've never had. No one close to me really has had. I've lost a couple of grandparents maybe to some illnesses that were. But what, so prior to having cancer, you had a certain outlook on the world,
mm-hmm.
outlook on life. I would imagine it changed, or it changed you. So I guess my question is, how did that experience change you?
Well, I mean, the whole time that you're going through it, because I wasn't done with when chemo was ended, I wasn't done either. Like, I had another surgery, and then I had radiation for 6 weeks every day. I had to go and get radiation. Like, I wasn't done
mm-hmm.
until April. Like, it was a, like, 9-month process. And the whole time you're going through it, it's just, like, I don't know. Like, people, I think, like, cancer patients are, like, really brave or whatever. Like, you just do what you gotta do.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the doctor says, here is the plan. And you're like, okay, I have to do it. I will follow the plan because I want this to be done.
Right.
So the whole time you're in this, like, battle mode, like, really focused. And
mm-hmm.
then when it's done, you don't have things to do anymore, and that's really hard to go from, like, I can attack this back
mm-hmm.
to not having that. It was a really hard adjustment to try to get back to normal. Like, my husband and I talked about a new normal. Like, it's
really
not the same.
Because you're just living every day to slay the beast.
Yeah.
That is cancer. And I'm taking this MF-er down.
Yeah.
Excuse me, everybody.
Yeah.
And
but
so
really
that's your focus. And then and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I guess I should read a magazine.
Yeah.
like
to try to
get a bicycle and, I don't know, look at things.
Yeah, things that mattered to you before, it just seems really trivial. And
yeah,
I don't
really
know. I was afraid that cancer would, like, the way I talked about it then was, like, I felt like it would haunt me. Like, that all of my time would be spent thinking about cancer. Because during that treatment, like, you wake up and that your first thought is cancer. And your last thought before you go to sleep is cancer. Like, I thought that would be my life. But I don't know, your life gradually comes back. Like, I get stressed out about the things that I used to get stressed out about before.
That really don't matter?
That don't matter.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is healthy. Like, I don't think about cancer every waking minute anymore. But it's been a long time.
Yeah.
I think that I try to keep things in perspective. I still get stressed out, but that, like, I haven't lost who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I try to remember to be kind to people. I try to remember that, like, you don't know what's going on with other people. You never know.
Yeah.
People keep lots of things under wraps.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, I try to be kind. Because
you never know.
You don't know.
Quick story on that. So I took a flight last summer to Boston. I was going to Harvard for a week to do this educational stats thing. You would like that kind of stuff.
I'm sure.
And get on the plane here, and I'm flying there. It's like a 2-hour flight or whatever. And this guy next to me is just kind of restless, and he's I'm in the window, and he's next to me, the middle seat, and then there's a guy on the aisle.
Yeah.
And he's just like I do that thing where, like, I sit down. I'll say hello to the person next to me, and maybe I was in a good mood. It was the morning. I got coffee. Well, hey, let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, friendly guy. And he's not feeling it at all. I'm like, all right, sorry, bro, you know? And so the flight goes on, and he's bumping me, armrest thing. I'm like, dude, this guy's a real nuisance.
Yeah.
And the flight lands, and I can see him. He's getting his stuff, and we're like halfway to the back of the plane, or maybe even towards the back, to where, and it fascinates me how that's human nature on an airplane. The plane stops, everybody stands up.
Oh, I know.
And it's like, you got 15
just
minutes.
Hold up.
So I'm going to keep reading my book here, you know. And
so,
but, like, this guy's got his bag, and he's kind of, like, bracing himself to go, and he's making calls. Like, as soon as he can make a call, he's making calls.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I'm swearing and stuff. I'm like, dude, what is this guy's deal?
For real.
And then the plane's about to, like, they're about to open the doors, and I can tell this guy's gonna make a break for it and try and be the first one off.
Yeah.
And then I hear him say to the guy next to him, hey, I gotta go quick. My dad's got, like, minutes to live.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, man. No, you know what I'm
sense.
Saying? Like, oh, jeez. And I felt like such a loser because I'm irritated by this guy.
But you can't help it.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Which I think, like I haven't lost myself. Like, I can't. You have to live your life. And
right.
Sometimes we get annoyed with people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
so I don't have a giant lesson. I wish I had some giant, like, cancer lesson, but I don't.
And if you tried to make one up, it would be weird.
It's too cliche.
Yeah, cliche.
Yeah.
Yeah, cancer. Yeah, yeah. But that's interesting to me. The that's all you think about when and then when it's gone, it's an adjustment.
Yeah.
A much 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 lesser version, poor man's version of that was me and. Grad school and finishing the PhD and having like a dissertation to work on, that was always something that if I ever have downtime, I could be doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, wait a minute, I don't have to do it. It's done now.
Exactly.
So, not apples to oranges, but there's.
But it's similar. Like your mindset shifts, and it's hard to adjust.
So, okay, so we just spent a lot of time on that. I found that to be fascinating. I'd like to turn the page though. I try to keep these to about 20 minutes. This is a musical counter, so I'm not even sure, but we got to be past 20 minutes by now.
I'm sorry.
But no, don't apologize. you just happen to be that interesting where we might have to do two parts or something.
That's fine.
I want to get to your habits of how you know I find you to be a well educated person, a motivated person. How do you sharpen the saw?
Like, how do I stay?
Yeah, like, is there a morning routine you're into? What are your eating habits like? What are you reading? What's on your Kindle?
Well, what I'm reading right now, I mean, I try to always have a book to read. On my Kindle right now, I have, it's called We That Are Left. I love historical fiction.
Me too.
So it's interesting about, it's sort of along the lines of Downton Abbey, the 1920s, like World War I, 1920s.
Somewhere, Britain. Lindsay Russo's ears just perked up.
Oh, I'm sure.
Downton Abbey!
Yeah. I love that show. So I love historical fiction. I think, and I also, last night I downloaded nonfiction from a famous historian, Eric Foner. It's called Gateway to Freedom. It's about the Underground Railroad.
Okay.
I should be someone that reads tons of historical nonfiction.
Primary documents?
Yeah. But I think I in the summer I try to read one or two historian books.
Sure.
But during the school year, like that, I feel like that's work.
Yeah.
History
yeah.
is my work.
You're studying, yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to a delightful little romp.
Right? Yes.
But historical fiction, though, like I got those.
I learned from it.
Ken Follett books. I have a much better understanding
mm-hmm.
of World War I, II, and the Cold War as a result of reading those three books.
Those are good.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever read the third one, the last one, the Cold War.
Do yourself a favor. Yeah,
I'll do it.
It's as good or better as the other ones.
The first two were great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love reading.
Mm-hmm.
I've been much better in the past few years at working out. I've never, like, I wasn't an athlete
mm-hmm.
in high school, so, like, physical fitness wasn't something I really cared about.
Mm-hmm.
Since my cancer, I think I've cared more about it, but on and off. I'd say, though, in the past year, since having our second child, my husband and I have been better about, like, taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So better eating habits, trying to exercise a few times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Because that helps me mentally. I'm like really type A. I like to have things in control. I have my to-do list. I enjoy crossing things off of
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have a to-do list for work. Like my personal life, I don't have a to-do list. I probably should. But I don't.
Well, yeah,
I have a calendar.
At a certain point, you kind of just relax and let it go.
Yeah.
We gotta wrap this up here. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. That's fine. So I wanna close with two questions.
Yeah.
One involves daylight savings time, and two involves starbursts.
Okay.
So we're gonna go daylight savings first. One of the most historically informed people I know.
Okay.
Why do we do daylight savings? Why do we do daylight savings?
It's from World War I. My understanding is it's from World War I, and it was from the Fuel Administration, and they were trying to conserve fuel to send to American soldiers overseas. Why do
well
we continue
done.
To
and,
do
and
it? I don't know.
Interestingly, it started with the Germans and the Austro-Hungarians.
They did it
first. And then it was working, I guess, which still doesn't make sense to me because you're not creating any more daylight. It's not happening.
Yeah,
but
no,
whatever.
No.
So I am convinced that the reason that we still do it is because that's the way it's always been done.
At least since
we just don't
want to
rattle any cages here, so let's just keep it going.
Probably.
Because personally, I say let's just never fall back. Let's keep it lighter out later. I can deal with the mornings. You
As
talk
a
to my
parent,
parents, they want it the other way.
As a parent, I hate it. Like,
come on, thrown off.
Yeah,
the kids are thrown off.
I don't like it.
So, I believe that daylight savings are the same reason that we do that is the same reason that we're not on the metric system yet. It's just laziness, and then
probably.
also the same reason that we still have pennies. And we're going to... Oh, surprise guest on the podcast, Bill Gray. We're recording right now. If you got something you're excited about, he slips out. anyway, lastly.
Starburst.
The original Starburst, there are four flavors.
Yes.
Or colors, I guess you would say, when Fred and Burrow. red, pink, orange, yellow. Can you please rank them? In terms of what's most appealing versus what's least appealing?
Red is by far the best. Then orange, then pink, then yellow.
I think we get along. I think, yeah, that's a very rational choice. Will you eat yellow?
I will eat yellow.
I'll throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
You'll
throw it out.
Like so when I buy Starbucks, I'm only getting 70%, 75% of the bang for my buck.
I bought some tropical ones that I have in my candy bin upstairs.
Yeah.
And I had like, it was an orange wrapper that I thought was faded. So I thought it was just an old, like traditional orange one.
Uh-huh.
And then I read the wrapper, it was melon. And I wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
No.
Trash it.
I won't try that.
Trash it. So yeah, that's my thing. Daylight savings, get it out. Old school measurement system that's not metric, get it out.
Yes.
Pennies, get them out. And yellow Starbursts. All yellow candy.
All yellow candy. Lemon heads.
Yeah. Okay. You can have those. I don't. Okay. Those are. Yeah. But Laffy Taffy. The ones.
Oh, I don't like any Laffy Taffy.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, that is going to be a wrap. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
No
problem. You will soon be famous. thank you for your time. Signing off, everybody. We went a little over time. I think this is a common theme, but I just have so much fun with this stuff.
Thanks,
everybody.